Amen. Thank you. So how many got a donut hole? Did you get a donut hole? Okay. I'm going to give these. No. You take the whole box. Amen. All right. There's a whole four left. Amen. So praise God. Amen. How many ready to receive what God has for you today? Turn, if you would, with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We're going to stay right here today. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Verses 1 through 8. Raise your hand if you have a notepad and a pen. Raise your hand if you have a notepad and a pen. I don't see it, Tony. I got to see it for you to write things down. That's what I got to do. Raise your hand if you have a notepad. Awesome. Wow, that is. No, keep them up. Let me see. Oh, that is awesome. If you don't have a notepad, I'll give you a whole week to get a notepad. There's these really fancy ones. If you go down the street and turn right, on the left-hand side, there's this place. It's called the 99-cent store, and they have some real nice ones. Guess how much they'll cost you? Oh, you guys are sharp. 99 cents. Amen. So let's do some review real quick. Who can tell me, so far we've talked about three things. Somebody say three things that are going to cause you to be a mighty warrior for God. Who right now today can tell me the three things? When I tell them to you, you're going to go, oh, I knew those. No, before I tell you, who can tell me all three things in its order? All three things. Okay. Who can tell me the first thing? The first thing. See, if you have your notes, you know this, and you boom, boom, boom. Okay. So to anyone who knew all three things, they were going to get a free hot dog. But that train has left the station. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's just do some review. Who can tell me the first thing? We talked about this 3 weeks ago. Who can tell me the first thing? James, what is the... You got to raise your hand. James, what was the first thing we talked about? Yeah. Know whose team you're on and be loyal to that team. You got to know who your team... And is God against you or is he for you? For you. God is for you. Okay, so we talked about that. Then what's the second thing we talked about? Yeah, weapons. What's the main weapon we spend a lot of time in? I am going to teach soon on the armor of God, which is going to be a tremendous series. But we spent time, I wanted specifically just to talk about the one of the main weapons. And what did we say that is? Worship. Our words, that the Bible says with our words, you know what, we can curse men or we can bless God. And the Bible says that we shouldn't with our tongue bless God and curse men. What does James say? He wants us to bless God and bless men. Now, there's things that we need to curse. Amen. I said there's things that we need to curse. But it's not the guy driving slower on the freeway. Amen? Come on, don't shout me down. Come on in the back row. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. No. There's things that we need to curse. Like, for instance, maybe strongholds that have been in your family. Don't come in agreement with that stronghold. Curse that stronghold. You know what? Well, your grandpa had a problem with anger. Your great-grandpa having a problem with anger. You know what? You know, your mom, man, she'd just lose it. Amen. And you're thinking, oh, that's a, no. That doesn't have to go down to your kids. But you've got to draw a line in the sand and say, enough is enough. I curse this in the name of Jesus. This generational curse will not go any farther. I stop it right now. Amen. Amen. So death and life is in the power of the tongue, and we can use our words to curse things we need to curse and to bless things we need to bless. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And then what did we talk about last week? Who knows what we talked about last week? Yeah, what did we talk about? Understand that we're in a war. Yeah, who else can help her out a little bit? In the back. Daniel. Wait, go ahead. Always be vigilant. That's right. But in this war that we're vigilant, what is one of the enemies that we saw last week? What is it, one of the enemies that we saw last week? It permeates our society now. Yes, the secular mentality that, you know what, there is no God. And that there is no God has entered into all kinds of situations in our life. We talked about the school. And let me say this, listen real carefully, because I was very strong last week. Well, I'm strong last week, not because really I wanted to be, but the way I assess it, I just don't know what else we're going to be because of their boldness. Amen? How many know sometimes somebody punches you? Well, that's a bad illustration. I don't want to say punch. Okay, look at your neighbor and say, this is just an illustration. You know, but how many know if sometimes somebody punches you, you know what? You got to get up and punch them back. Amen? See, we as Christians need to say, no, we are not going to tolerate a secular society. Let me give you, for instance, you know what? In the grocery store, you know what? There was a time that, remember that sweet lady? She worked at Vons. She had, her child was, she had a son that had some medical situations down at Newport Beach. Sweet lady. Anyway, she used to wear, at Vaughn, she used to wear, you know what, a Jesus Loves You pin. You know what? And then later on, Tamara used to wear some pin that talked about Jesus. And they told her to take it off. See, that's what I'm talking about. We have to recognize there's a secularism that is trying to infiltrate every aspect of our society. And if you're going to be a good warrior of God, you have to recognize that, listen to me, that is not neutral. That secularism is not neutral. That's what the enemy would say. Secularism is neutral. But when you take God out, that is the spirit of Antichrist. We need to get this, church. Okay, and so if you were challenged last week, as I encouraged you to very possibly, you know what, and very probably make sure that to whom much is given, much is required, your children are very, very important. And because of their boldness to dictate to your kids that it is not up to biology to declare whether you're a male or a female, it's up to them. We've just got, I just don't know what we do. We've got to step forward and say, okay, then you are not going to educate my kids any longer. But here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to understand. There are people in the church, and that's why I gave you the example of Tamara, because, and myself too. When God first spoke to us and said, you need to homeschool your kids, I was freaked out. And then the Holy Spirit started ministering to me, and then I ministered to my wife, and she was freaked out. Well, I'm using that example because I want you to know you might be freaked out too. But the Holy Spirit, just like He did with us, He helped us, show us, connect us with some people that could help us. And you're not in this thing alone. You have people around you that are doing it right now. It's really not as scary as you think it is. Amen. And the first year, you might, you might not, whatever, do that well. But look at the test scores in California. Trust me, you'll do pretty good. No, can I talk honest with somebody? Amen. No, you'll do okay. Trust me. Look at the test scores in California. You'll do good. Amen. And here's what I'm saying. There's people in the church that will help you. On Friday, we have a whole group of people who come, mothers and fathers, and they come and we just hang out together. And that's like the homeschool bunch. Amen. And so we're here for you. We want to help you. Amen. And after church, you know what? If you need to connect with somebody, connect with somebody. I know it can be frightening. I understand that. But I also understand that to whom God leads, to whom much is given, much is required. And as he's leading you, he will help you. Does that make sense? God never asked you to do something and say, oh, figure it out yourself. Never. Never. Which goes into what I want to talk to you today is about the dependency of God. Somebody say the dependency of God. A good soldier has to be completely dependent on God as their source. Turn with me to John chapter 15. And I'm going to read this and then we're going to go over it. John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Say, I've got to be dependent on God. Everybody say, I got to be dependent on God. Everybody say, I got to be dependent on God. Okay. If you're not moving your lips, you're not doing it. Everybody say, if you got your mask, I can't tell. So, okay. Yeah. But my point is, say, I got to be dependent on God. I've got to be dependent on God. Okay. I've got to be dependent on God. If I'm going to be a good soldier. Okay. Everybody over here, I've got to be dependent on God. Everybody here, I got to be dependent on God. I've got to be dependent on God. To be a good soldier, we got to be dependent on God. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you abide in me and my words in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and it is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Yeah, figure out what that means theologically. No, I'm serious. We're just teaching what God said. How many believe every word that God said? How many believe that God didn't say this, but he really doesn't mean that. He really means this. How many know when you're listening to teachers that say God said this, but he really didn't mean that, he really meant this, it's time to turn those teachers off. Amen. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, there it is again. You see these words all the time. It's crazy people who don't understand the powers of the tongue and they mock it. Turn those people off too. Turn those people off too. Because Jesus understands that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And you see it all the time in the word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear what? Fruit? No, much fruit. And so you will be my disciples. Somebody say, you got to be connected to the vine. In this passage, in this example, there's four main words. One, the vine dresser. Two, the vine. Three, the branches. And four, the fruit. What's the vine dresser? The vine dresser is our Heavenly Father. He owns the vineyard. What's the vine? Somebody say, Jesus is the vine. Who are the branches? Say, I'm the branches. Okay. And what's the fruit? The fruit is that which is naturally produced because of our connection with Jesus. Listen to me. If you're connected with Jesus, fruit comes. Amen. This came off my tree at home. Cut it off this morning. How many know these lemons didn't work very hard being lemons? They just connected with the branch and became lemonized, right? Do you understand this? And here's what you need to know, that if you'll just connect with Jesus, the desire of your heart will come. The connection is everything. It's really, Jesus was right when Jesus said, of myself, I can't do anything. About 10 chapters earlier, that's what Jesus said. He said it twice. Jesus understood his connection and how important it is. Today, I only am going to talk about two things, just two things. Okay. Number one, I want you to understand that God wants us to be very productive. Who? You. I think I said this last week, but I need to say it again. God wants everyone in this church to be not productive, very productive. And for some reason, we have done the church a great disservice. Pastor George, I know you will, I know you are, but this is part of a time. It's why you and your wife are here, because we need to be on the same page. Make sure that everyone that comes to Esperanza understands that to grow spiritually, they have to be actively involved as part of doing whatever they do. Part of whatever it is. And we remember that night that we were here, and Tamara, my beautiful helpmate, was helping me, and I had been here all week, you know, and I came home. I didn't come home as dirty as you two came home. Amen. Right? Right. Thank God. Amen. But and some of you too, right? You too. But we were digging this trench, and man, we were running out of time, and we had these guys say, yeah, because we're trying to save some money. Amen. How much you know you get union plumbers? They can dig a trench too, right? Right? So we're like, dig a trench. You know what? We want to dig our own trench. So we dug this trench, and man, it was a lot of work, and it was a blessing. But my point is, we were getting down to it, and my wife, I was like, honey, I don't know what to do. These plumbers are on me. They're saying we got to have it done by Friday. We weren't even, you know what? And Pastor Tamara called Pastor George and said, hey, we need backup. And they were faithful. But we have to teach people to be part. And to be part, you're not going to be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish without God. But God wants us all to be fruitful. Say fruitful. Okay. I only want to teach you two things today. One, God wants you to produce much fruit. And in the kingdom, we have hurt ourselves in saying, you know what, Pastor Shayla, Pastor Joel, and there's nothing wrong with recognizing the anointing. Pastor Isaac, you know what, Pastor George, Pastor Lydia. But listen, if you think that we are the workers and you are the observers, man, sorry if we've communicated that. That is absolutely wrong. We used to say it. I need to start saying it again. These are not the worshipers, and you are not the audience. Amen. We are the worshipers. They are helping to lead us to worship. you know, me and Pastor Joel and Pastor Isaac and you know what, Pastor Tamron, Pastor George and Pastor Lydia and Pastor Shayla and Pastor Vegas, we are not the workers. Ooh. Now, we have to be willing to do everything. But we are all together the workers. After the service, sign up. Pastor Joel will be right over there. We're asking you to work 2 hours. 2 hours. Yeah, but I'm busy this week. Well, get unbusy for 2 hours and come down here and be part of the solution. Shayla, work on this week. I want a shirt that says, I am part of the solution. I want it to be probably black and cool and with Hope Community Church on the back. Okay? I am part of the solution. One time I had a shirt and I got some paint on it. And I thought, man, I want a Jesus shirt anyway. So I just painted Jesus on it. Amen? I don't want to paint a bunch of shirts. It's, you know, I want a nice printed shirt. But you have to understand what God's order is that, watch this, we can see it in Genesis. God's order is that he produces seed that bears like seed. And so there's this multiplication that happens. Amen. How many know organic lemons are more expensive than regular lemons? Okay, a lemon for you. And 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 a lemon for you. Now, why did they get a fresh, right off the vine, a fresh lemon? Here's why. Yeah. Well, how do you say it in Spanish? Lemonade. Lemonada. Okay, so here's my point. How come there's so many lemons on this tree? Do you know that the person, I don't know who planted that lemon tree. Thank God. Tamara, this is not true. Thank God for the person who planted that lemon tree. But how many know, how many lemon seeds did they plant? One. How many? This is just a small, you should see my lemon tree. This is just a small little branch I took off. Amen? And see all these buds here? They're these lemon sisters and brothers. Amen? I got enough lemons for all of you. Amen? And the thing cool about that lemon tree, this is God ordained. God initiated. Why? Because he wants productivity. He doesn't want added growth. He wants exponential growth. Do you understand? There's two kind of people in this story. Two kind of people. Only two kind of people. Those who are not producing any fruit. And to those people, what does he do? He takes it away. How many know? How many, man, doesn't this look fresh and nice and great? Okay, that's for you. Sorry. Here, let me get it for you. That's for you. How many know what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day and the next day? What's going to happen to this beautiful, looks like this is alive, does it not? This, how many know this is not alive? This is dead. Amen? How many know you can come to church with your hair all slicked up good and you know what? And you got your cool skinny jeans and you got your tie-dyed shirt on and you know what? You got your Bible in your hands. Did you hear about the pastor who the lady thought that they had invited this pastor over, and after dinner he left and the lady thought, man, I think the pastor stole my spoon. The pastor stole my spoon. But she didn't say anything about it. A year later, somebody say a year later, this lady they invite the pastor over again. And they're eating dinner, and the lady just can't not say it. She says, "Pastor, I just want to ask you something. You know what? Did you take my spoon last year?" Pastor said, "No, I didn't take your spoon. I just put it in your Bible." See, how many know, man, you can come even to church with your Bible, amen? And because you're not connected to the source, you can be far from God. All the outward looks cool, but the reality is you are in the process of withering away. You are in the process of, you are whatever's going on, relational, financial, physical, spiritual, every aspect. You know what? You are going to, in days and years and months coming up, you are going to become more withered. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God's system is a system that He wants you to be incredibly productive. So there's only two people. One, in this story, there's only two people. We read it. People that are not producing fruit. And they are going to be put away. They're going to wither it up. And eventually they're going to be thrown into the fire. That's what Jesus said. And then there's other people that are producing fruit. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "I think that's you." Come on, do it enthusiastically. "I think that's you." Okay. Now, here's the second thing. First thing I want you to understand, God's reality is He wants all of us, say all of us, to be productive and to produce much fruit. That's how He is. Let me stay on this point for a minute. To one, He gives one talent. To another, He gives two talents. To another, He gives five talents. But notice what He wants in this story. He wants productivity, great productivity, after every single one of them. So the one who had five, he doubles what he has. How many know that's productive? And the Bible doesn't tell us how long, I don't think it does, tell us how long he is gone, but I don't think he was gone for a long time. The Bible, that when he comes back, you know what? That guy who had five doubled it. And he says, "Way to go." Why? Because God is into us being very productive. Then he says to the person who gave two, he says, "What'd you do with that?" Notice, here's what I want you to notice. Two things. One is these people are doubling what was given to him. How many know if you got $1,000 and in a short period of time you double it, financially, you're rocking it. Amen. Right? I mean, that's what God is looking for. This guy doubled it. This young lady doubled it. Notice God is coming back and asking, "Hey, what'd you do with what I gave you?" See, what are you doing with what He gave you? Do you understand? I still call him a best friend. He's like a brother to me. He's like a son to me. I love him like incredible. I won't tell you his name because I don't want to tell you his name, but it's close friend of mine. Haven't seen him for 15 years, but I love the guy so much. And he has all this talent in the world. But when I was hanging out with him, ministering with him, he was very productive. And I just could have done incredible things for the kingdom. But as he got a little older, in his 20s, he started floating away and getting into this, and he became some karate champ and all this, you know, stupid stuff. Amen? If you're a karate champ, no, you know, just not, but got away from the calling on his life. Do you understand? And all the talent in the world. But God is coming back to you, asking you, "What did you do with what I gave you?" Why? Because He wants you to be productive. And so then he goes to the guy who only, you know what, he gave one, and this guy, you know what, buries it in the sand. Do you know what he says to that guy? You know what he says to him? He says, watch how crazy strong his words are. He says, you evil servant. Do you understand? God is looking for productivity. So there's only two kind of people who aren't producing anything. And to those people, he's going to say, okay, enough is enough. And he's going to drag those people away. They're going to wither. And then he's going to throw it in the fire. Then to everyone else, look at your neighbor and say, I hope he's talking to you now. Okay. What does he do to those people? The Bible says he prunes you. He prunes you. The only other thing I'm going to talk about today is pruning. So how does God prune? He prunes predominantly with the words of his mouth. He prunes us. Look at John chapter 15. It's right there. And look at the third verse. Look what he says. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. That word clean there can also be interpreted as pruned. He's telling the apostles, guys, you're already clean. You're already been pruned. Here's why. Because of the word which I've spoken to you. God uses, so here's what you're doing. God rewards people who are fruitful. Come on. Can I get some enthusiasm? Maybe in this section over here. God rewards those who are fruitful. Hallelujah. Okay. What about this section? Can I get some enthusiasm? God, not this section. This little section here. Although I appreciate it. How many know God rewards those who are fruitful? Okay. Now, here's what you need to understand. How does he reward those who are fruitful? How does he do it? How does he do it? Look. To every branch, verse 2, to every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he what? Wait a minute, Pastor. That's how he rewards? Yes, he rewards those who are producing fruit by pruning you. How does he prune you? We looked in verse 3. He prunes you with his words or with his word. Let me give you for instance. Why is he doing that? Because this branch is growing and it's got fruit, and God looks at that and he says, man, I'm really proud of that branch, but it's only got 10 lemons on it. I want it to have 50 lemons on it. He's not satisfied with you producing fruit. Look at your neighbor and say, God is not satisfied with you producing fruit according to the word. He doesn't want you to produce fruit. Look, it's right there. Verse 2, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear what? More fruit. How does he prune? With his words. Let me give you for instance. So, he speaks to the apostles and he says, I want you to go. I'm going to bless you. I want you to go and I want you to minister. You know what? Heal the sick, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. And so he sends them on their way. They come back and they're like, dude, man, you should see what we did, man. God used us in a mighty way. How many know it's good to be used in a mighty way by God? And so they are producing fruit. Later on, All the guys are talking. Jesus comes up to them, and he knows what they're talking about. I've been in this church for a long time. I've seen people talk, and I come up, and all of a sudden they're quiet. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you what, in this church it's happened. Look at your neighbor, say, don't ever use your words to edify your pastor. This is a side note, but this is really important. If you got a suggestion to me, you know what? Then you bring it to me. And Pastor George, listen to me. Listen to this whole thing before you judge it. You can't judge things when I get halfway done, because then you don't get, you know, oh, that ticks me off. Listen to the whole thing. You could be ticked off after I'm done, okay? But just give me the bed. Just at least me talk about the whole thing. Pastor George, and if they come to me, I won't listen to them. Unless they want to be part of the solution. If they want to be part of the solution, if you think that, you know what, that we dug this thing wrong, there's a better way to dig it, that's fine, but do me a favor. You know what? Make sure you show me your shovel before you start talking. Does that make sense? Is that fair? Because in the body of Christ, there's some people who they got a better way to do it, but you know what? They got to get off their duff and do something. And good leadership won't even listen to those people. Good leadership won't even listen to those people. I'll be like, la, 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 la. Where's your shovel? Okay. But if you have your shovel, I'll definitely listen to you. Because you might have a great idea. Amen? You might not. I don't know. But I guarantee I'll listen to you. Amen. Does that make sense? So, you know what? God comes up to these people, and all of a sudden he says, hey, what y'all talking about? Well, you know what they were talking about? They're talking about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. How many know sometimes success will stir some stuff up to you? See, be careful when you're successful, because a lot of times that'll stir some junk up that God wants to deal with. And they were fruitful. But watch this. God, they are fruitful at this point, but where they're going is about to produce something that's not going to produce a lot of fruit. And so you know what God does? He prunes it. How does he prune it? God doesn't prune it with his hand. He prunes with his words. Amen. So what does he do? He uses an object lesson. He says, hey, little Joey, get over here. Little Joey comes and he says, let me tell you, you want to talk about greatness? This guy, you want to be great in the kingdom of God? You got to come to the kingdom of God like a little child. What's a little child? Little child don't think he's all that in a bag of chips. A little child will listen to, you know what, his parents. Right? A little child is humble. Are you understand what I'm saying? What's he doing? He's gonna prune them. Does that make sense? Peter's a great example. Walking on the water. Dude, you the man. Right? Nobody else is walking on the water. Nobody else has the trust in God to say, God, if that's you, tell me to come. Jesus says, come. That guy got out of the boat. That is the man. He is exercising his trust in God in a crazy way. I mean, he's just rocking it. You talk about producing fruit. You know when the Bible comes back, you know what he's looking for when Jesus comes back? You know what he's looking for? He's looking for faith. He's looking for people that will trust him. That's what he's looking for. When he comes back, will he find faith? That's what the Bible says. So he's looking for that. And Peter is rocking it. Peter isn't doing bad. He's doing good. And what happens? He starts to see the wind, and it freaks him out, and he starts to drown. And Jesus saves him. But then later on, you know what Jesus says to him? He sees his faith, and he knows it's going to produce much. He knows it's producing, and it is producing. He walked on the water, but he needs to step up in a higher level, because God doesn't want us to produce fruit. He wants us to produce much fruit. So he's going to see Peter, and he's going to recognize what he's doing, and he's not going to just walk away. To whom? See, we've got to look at the pruning of God completely different than we have. We look at the pruning, the discipline of God, we say, man, God, listen, read your Bible. To whom God loves, he disciplines. One of the reasons why you're getting discipline is because you are producing fruit. Don't resist the pruning of God. Don't resist the pruning of God. Don't resist the pruning of God. God is speaking to you, sometimes challenging things. What, you know what? Why in the world? Why isn't God saying, hey, you know what? Peter, you rock. All these other goofballs are staying in the boat, but you got out of the boat. No, here's what he says to him. He sees fruit and he wants more fruit. So he's going to prune him and say, Peter, here's the problem. The problem is, well, he's going to ask him, where was your faith? What happened? He got his eyes off Jesus. And he needs to teach him that. Because in moments, in times, think about this. Peter, who is going to use the pruning. So years later, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They're starting to, you know what? Remember, just connected to the vine. They're not trying to do anything. All they were was obedient to what God asked them to do as he's pruning them, saying, don't go and minister. First, I want you to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's going to be something, and the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Don't minister until you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they're going to be obedient to that. Well, because they're connected, all this fruitfulness starts happening. Oh, rababagi shebo rabaga, irabagi shebo rababagi sheboram. What are they doing? They're speaking in an unknown language. They have no idea what's going on. Read it. It's in your Bible. And these people start to look at them and go, what are you, crazy? Are you drunk? When you start to walk in the things that God has called you to walk in, you are going to be different than them, and they will mock you. Well, at that point in time, Peter isn't, he's learned, he's been pruned. He's not going to be affected by the wind and the waves and the speak and the mocking. And the Bible says he stands up and with boldness, led by the Holy Spirit, he's going to say, we're not drunk. Let me tell you what's going on. This was prophesied. And he takes the mob mentality, and which could have went the wrong direction. And by the time he's not even done preaching, they come and say, what must we do to be born again? And that day, 3,000 people come into the kingdom of God. See, could it be that God isn't trying to get down on Peter? God is trying to lift him up. Yes, pruning. But what he sees is he sees a man that by his faith can just produce so much. And he's willing to prune him. See, you want to be a good soldier? Start producing some fruit. And when you produce fruit, God is going to bless you with some pruning. Tamara's out here. You've heard this story. She's out here right out. I don't know where she was. I picture her right over there for some reason, as she's told this story many times. But I was thinking about this as I was going over this. And she's out there, and most of you weren't even here at the church at that point in time. And what is our spirit? What's our spirit of this church? Excellence. Come on, everybody should know this. What's our spirit? Excellence. What's our heart? People. Amen. What is generosity to us? That's opportunity. What's our favorite? Can't say that without a smile. Smiling. Who's our Lord? Jesus Christ. So excellence is our spirit. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot of staff. There's not a lot we can do, but here's what she can do. She can come into the parking lot and see, what the heck? What's with all these weeds in the parking lot? I don't want Connie to come driving up to her church and, you know what, there'd be weeds in the parking lot. Our spirit is excellence. Can I tell you whose spirit that is? That's Jesus' spirit. Notice when he turns the water into wine, you know what? They're saying, we don't understand what happened. Your wine is good wine. You know, usually they give the good stuff first. But man, this is way better. You tricked us. You gave us the good stuff. How many know when they were eating, when God blessed and multiplied the bread and the fish? How many know that, you know, you think Chick-fil-A has a good chicken sandwich? You know what? I know it's different, not chicken, but fish, but whatever. You get the point. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? The best fish fillet sandwich you ever had was the one that Jesus made that day. Why? Because his spirit is excellence. So we're out here, you know, she's out there, what I picture out there, she's picking weeds. How many know weeds at 9:30, picking weeds at 9:30 is different than picking weeds at 11:30 in Southern California? And I picture in my mind that as she's picking weeds, that the parking lot is getting bigger. I mean, it's not getting bigger, but it seems. How many know your flesh will talk to you a little bit? Be careful when you start obeying the flesh. And years ago, but her spirit is excellent. She's producing fruit. I don't know how many weeds she had picked, but a lot of weeds, and she's producing fruit. Connie's going to drive up and go, wow, I don't know what happened to all the weeds. What a nice parking lot we have, right? And then, Tamara, what did God say to you? What did he doesn't prune with his hands. He prunes with his words. What did God say to you? What did you say to God? What did you say? I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to do this anymore. What is his word already told her? Somebody help me out with this. Don't grow weary in doing good. See, what did God say to you when you told him, when you said that? He said, watch this. I didn't ask you. Now watch this. Watch this. See, he prunes with his words that she would produce more fruit. See, Chris, listen, what's he saying to her? He's saying, hey, Tamara, wait a minute. Let's get this understanding. You are part of the kingdom of God, of which I am king. This is not a democracy. This is a kingdom. I am king. I am king. I am king. I am king in the kingdom. There will be no other God except me in this kingdom. What did he say again? I didn't ask you because you're not the king in my kingdom. Do you get this? What is he doing? He's pruning her that she would later on understand. Listen, Christians, there are so many Christians and they're going to produce next to nothing. Because they are going to be led because they are the ones on the throne. If they don't feel like coming to church, they don't come to church. If they don't feel like volunteering, they don't volunteer. If there's a good movie on, they don't care that they signed up for 2 hours. They're going to watch the movie. If you know what? If God asks you to give too much, when he's asking you what your part is, you're going to just say, I'm going to give 10 bucks and Pastor, I ought to be happy with that. Right? You're just going to be... Listen, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. God isn't trying to, you know what, curse Tamara. God is trying to bless Tamara that this pruning can come, that she would be able to produce much fruit. Are you catching this? So God wants all of us to produce much fruit. How are we going to do that? We're going to get, first we got to produce some fruit. Amen. Pastor, how do I produce fruit? All you have to do is be connected to the vine. That's all you have to do. See, can I tell you what? Let's use Pastor Joel as an example. Pastor Joel is one of the most fruitful people that I've ever seen in the body of Christ. And although he has a wonderful pastor that coaches, teaches, and trains him. Learned that from Dr. Racky. And as much as I'd like to take credit for all the productivity that takes place from Joel, the reality is I know I play a certain role, but a very lesser role as far as why Pastor Joel is so fruitful. The major role is because Joel, Pastor Joel, is connected to the vine. And so God has pruned him and pruned him and pruned him and pruned him. And as God is pruning him, there just becomes, somebody said, I don't really know how to prune, but let's pretend, I just cut this down. Let's just pretend I knew how to prune. Let's say I pruned this. Somebody could say, Drew, why did you do that? Look at all those lemons, and now your tree is so much smaller. No, God doesn't prune. When somebody who knows how to prune, they prune. How many know they're going to get more coming out of that than this? What's my point? A couple things. Two things only. Good soldiers understand that God is not looking for you to do next to nothing. He's not looking for you. This mentality of the pastor's work and the congregation just kicks back and just listens and listens and listens. One of my favorite evangelists had a vision. And in that vision, he was at a conference. In the vision, he was in the front row. They were just taking a break. People were mingling all around. And he started to see these people all around him. And they were, you ever see somebody that's anorexic? I mean, crazy anorexic? How scary it is. He said, everybody walking around him. Now, these are real people. But he's got this supernatural vision. And so as people are walking around, normal people, but in his vision, he sees all these people and they're all anorexic, like crazy anorexic, except for their heads. And their heads are just three times the normal size. And it's that's a freaky vision. And he's kind of freaking out and he says, God, what are you showing me? And he said, I'm showing you the condition of most people in the body of Christ. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he's saying, you know what? They have gotten all this head knowledge, but because they're not implementing anything that they're learning, they're completely malnourished. They have big heads, but their whole rest of their body's not developed. See, I'd like to take credit for everything that Pastor Joel is producing, but I can't. The reason why he's producing is because he connects to the vine. Number one, God, listen, you need to get rid of this stinking thinking that you just come to listen. No, you're a part of the body of Christ. We're going to build this beautiful, see how we have these funky tarps over there? You're going to come, I don't know, in a month or 2 months or a month, and it won't be a funky tarp. It'll be the state of, it'll be just like this. It'll be all this steel with the same kind of top. You'll look at it and go, man, Tamara must have been involved in that, because that is sharp looking. How does that take place? It takes place by, you know what, predominantly two men in the church stepping up and saying, hey, pastor, you know what? I've got some skill in this. I can help. Amen. Amen. So much of what's taking place in the body of Christ. How many enjoyed the, what did we have last week or the week before? I'm telling you, the Basole was, man. You know, a bunch of people like the red, bunch of people like the green. But I got so many comments like, oh man, it was only with a bomb. It was so good. Why did that take place? It took place because women on Saturday, you know what? And if you're a good guy cook, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying, the women showed up, so whatever. You know what? If you got a pozole recipe, bring it. Amen. But they were here, and they were here all day. But how many know that enhanced your day the next day? See, our life doesn't belong to ourselves anymore. And this mentality that you're just called not to do, you know, just that you're not called just to get message after message after message after message. No, you're called to be a part. You're called to produce much fruit. You know what? So stop thinking, yeah, you know what? The interns, man, they were, you know, Josh, man, he rocked it. And Anthony, they rocked it. Thank God for the interns. No, thank God for you, amen. And thank God for this message, amen. Because we are called to build this thing together. And second of all, you know what? I don't care how much you can do. If you don't connect to God, listen to me. The words, 10 o'clock tomorrow, 10 o'clock tomorrow, 10 o'clock tomorrow. We have people, they can't make 10 o'clock. They listened to it when they got home. You know what, Dave? You know, I said, Dave, what? He said, Pastor Drew, oh, you blessed me last week. He said, I'm listening to 10 o'clock then. I said, that's awesome. He said, you know what? I said, when do you take a break at 10 o'clock? He said, no, I figured out how I listen to it. I listen to it when I get home. I forget what he said, after he eats or before he eats, but he's got this system every day before he eats dinner or after, I forget, he listens to the message. Just 20 minutes. It'll change your life. And that connecting, all of a sudden, you'll be producing stuff. You'll say, man, I don't even know what's going on. I know what's going on. God's words are producing in your life. Amen. Wave your hand like this if this word helped you in any way. Wave your hand like this. Thank God. Yeah, praise God. Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness, your joy, your mercy. Thank you for this word that we learned. Now, if you want to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need you to pray with me because I've either had a too small mentality as far as my part in the kingdom of God, or I haven't been connected to the vine like I should. Either one, because that's all I taught. Either one of those or maybe both. Raise your hand. If it's both, raise both hands. Okay, Father, you see the hands up? Father, I pray that you knew what message needed to be preached today. We receive it. Say, I receive. See, the word of God can be taught, but you have to receive it to do it. Say, I receive the word today to change my life forever. Amen. Now, if you haven't come into the kingdom of God, maybe you're here today, maybe you're watching, but you're not sure. How many know when you die isn't the time to figure it out? Amen. How many know after you die, it's too late? Guys, listen, God is raising up an army. I had a friend, a good friend. He helped us with all kinds of plumbing around here. His daughter calls me the other day, says, hey, I just wanted to call you and let you know my dad died this weekend. He was driving home from Hemet, and you know what? And a big rig just slammed right into him, killed him instantly. So, Pastor, listen, every single one, I'm not trying to be negative. We're in the process. So amen. Today is the day to figure it out. If you want to accept Jesus, you know what? God will come inside you, change you from the inside out. If that's you, let's make Jesus our Lord today. Say, Jesus, come in my heart. I want to make you my Lord. I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.